I had early challenges from the get-go saying, this is never going to work.
It's a new world for business.
It was quite daunting.
A world that's changing every day.
It's quite a harsh term.
And to survive, businesses are encouraged to boldly embrace new technologies, new business models, and new ideas.
To this day, it's one of the most solid things I've done.
Bold Businesses, a podcast series about the bold embracing the new.
I wish I had that back then.
Powered by Vodafone.
Anyone who's started their own business will tell you it can be a bumpy road. The excitement, passions, and successes rarely come without minor setbacks, financial stress, and some sleepless nights. I'm Cara Waters, small business editor for The Age and Sydney Morning Herald, and this is the Bold Businesses podcast, powered by Vodafone. Today we're looking at some things business owners can do when they're starting out, from nailing the numbers to making sure they've got the support they need. Later on, we'll be getting advice from entrepreneur and Wade Institute mentor, Jody Imam. But first, we're hearing from a small business owner who's filled a gap in the market with an idea people told her would never work. Helen Awali was running a marketing agency in the construction industry when she came up with the idea for Bookmark, an online business-to-business marketplace that connects architects, designers, suppliers, and consumers through the ability to tag products in a visual library. Helen, Bookmark's a very visual business, and since this is a podcast, can you explain how it works?
Sure, Cara. So essentially, Bookmark is a marketplace where architects can upload all their projects to promote themselves, and then they tag in manufacturers who have product placements as tags onto the images. So then users who are looking for ideas and renovating, building, any sort of construction work, are able to look at different types of images and then source the products directly from the photos.
Sounds like a great idea. How did you come up with it and when did you start the business?
Previous to Bookmark, I ran a very successful product marketing agency in the construction space for 15 years. And from there, we realised that the biggest pain point for in three different sectors, as a designer, as a manufacturer, and as a user, was trying to find products from images. People were usually going to the internet and you'd find that perfect kitchen, but you wouldn't be able to find what all those different products were within the kitchen. So you want to source the bench tops, the tapware. You really want to replicate that. So we thought, all right, we'll create a platform. It sort of started off as a bit of a side business. I didn't really take it too seriously. Created a platform. In about 2013, we realised, okay, it's starting to pick up. We've got a lot of users who are now registering their products, using the site.
So that was a real gap in the market that you spotted. How much did you have to put in to fund the business when you're building and developing it?
Founders funding is $300,000 is how much we put into the business. We've been bootstrapped all along.
Good on you.
But recently we're to say scale because the site is starting to grow and pick up a lot of momentum. We're now looking to seek some capital and raise that capital.
And how much capital are you seeking and what do you want to do with it?
So we're looking to raise around the $2 million mark. It'll allow us to essentially scale in Australia nationwide, but also in the US. We've had a lot of US architects come to Bookmark without us having much effort put in. We've got running a very lean business as well. Had anyone said to me, you know, running a website was going to be more expensive than having an agency, I probably wouldn't have believed them.
So you said you run a very lean business. How lean is it and how do you operate it?
We do break even at the moment. We have been for quite some time, but we would like to have some funds, a lot of funds left over to do some serious marketing. Being a website that's quite visual and we're trying to attract a lot of users, so user acquisition is huge for us. You need a lot of money for that. So every single dollar that we get into the business just goes straight back into marketing. So it doesn't leave a lot of leeway to scale, really scale.
And what about how lean you are in terms of staff?
Yeah, so we are a very small team at the moment. We're a team of four. We were a couple of months ago a team of eight, but we decided that development was something that we focused on, so we had to cut back. We had to look at what was essential in the business and really cut back. And that was very tough for us. It was like a midway pain, like a growing pain. But it was essential to making sure the business stayed afloat.
And what are your particular pain points?
I guess the pain points for any sort of tech company is making sure that your team really understand what your customer wants. Mm-hmm. And I guess we're an interesting sort of marketplace because we're a three-sided marketplace by accident. We initially were two-sided, but consumers came to the site. So now we have another set of challenges, and that is making the UX experience of the site really on point so the users, such as consumers, can come to the site, find the products they need, but traction as well. So traffic and traction is another pain point for a business like ours.
And how do you make money? Who pays? Is it the consumers, the architects, or?
Yeah, so consumers and architects, it's free for them to use. Mm-hmm. Architects are our product champions, so they upload all the content. They populate the site for us. So we've actually got no shortage of projects coming to the website. In return, they get to market their business. We generate all our revenue through the product manufacturers, so we charge them a subscription fee every month. And on top of that, we charge them advertising fees too. So the bulk of our revenue comes from advertising campaigns and sponsorships to market their brands.
Everyone wants a subscription business because you've got a guaranteed cash flow. Were you very deliberate about that?
No, we were deliberate. I guess coming from my agency background where I was used to having contracts and you had, recurring revenue coming through every month, with Bookmark, it didn't even occur to me at the time that we wouldn't have give it a free model. Free was never an option in our mind. So subscription, we went out and pretty much it was a real good early adoption and a good understanding of that as well.
What about turnover? What sort of turnover does the business have now and what are you looking to grow it to?
Yeah, so the business for the last few years has been growing 30% year on year. Mm-hmm. Our turnover is close to just over $500,000. Mm-hmm. We're looking to head, if we get our investment capital, allow us to scale, say, in 3 years' time to conservatively around $12 million, it allows us to grow. And also get that brand awareness too, yeah.
You went from running a marketing agency with 25 staff and now there's four people at Bookmark. What are the differences in managing that sort of team and, how has what you've done before helped you in this?
The biggest challenge is, having a full team where everyone has got two or three different parts to play in their roles. Now, as a small team, we're very agile, quite responsive. I'm working longer hours than I've ever worked. It's a 24-hour role almost. It's difficult. It's really challenging, but I've got a good little team.
Speaking of hard work, we were comparing notes on the way in here about our early starts, and I think you said you were up at 4:30 for a gym session.
Yes.
So, what's the work life like for you as a founder of a rapidly growing business, and how do you fit it all in?
So I made the conscious decision to start getting up early and go to the gym. I'm usually a night owl. I love to work throughout the night. Mm-hmm. I could stay up to 2 or 3 a.m. continually working. But I decided to switch around because I suffer also from anxiety, so that's one thing people don't know. But the gym work helps me break that anxiety down. Having a long day with two kids and a husband, my husband also has his own business too, I'm always on the go, and that's okay. That's me. I like being on the go. Mm-hmm. I like being busy. I get bored very quickly. And so as long as I don't have a lot of time to think and I just go, I'm really happy with that.
And what about managing anxiety? Do you find exercise helps with that? And what else helps? As a business owner, it's actually quite common.
Having anxiety is a lonely sort of mind disease, I say. Exercise definitely helps with that. By the time I get to work, I'm pumped, I'm ready to go. Not many things affect me like they used to. I've learned that, I stay away from the naysayers. If I find there's some sort of negativity around, not constructive criticism, because I like that. Mm-hmm. I take that very well. But any sort of negativity like, why are you bothering? It's just too hard. You seem so stressed all the time or whatever, from their observations. I kind of like block that away and say, well, that's someone I don't need to be around for this next period of my life.
Did you get much of that negativity when you were starting up, as in terms of people sort of going, why would you leave this successful business and go and start something completely new?
Oh, for sure. Construction is traditionally a bricks and mortar type business. Mm-hmm. So they're very used to marketing a specific way. So when I went to them with this sort of idea, they're like, digital. No one would ever put anything up. And who'd want to see our products? Why would they want to go to Bookmark when they can come to our lovely site? And we'd say to them, Well, at the end of the day, when they're searching for, I'll use a fridge, they're not going to type in, I want this brand fridge, unless you had something wonderful that you marketed, into Google. They're just going to type in fridge and you're going to get lost in all that clutter and everything. So I had early challenges from the get-go saying this is never going to work. But I believed in it. I knew from being a designer myself previously how hard it was to get information, particularly from images. We looked towards visual images for all sorts of ideas. So I stuck with it, and the early adopters are still our customers. The laggards are finally coming on.
Yes.
So, you know, they've realised, well, all my competitors are on here, so we might as well make a move and get up on the site and promote our products.
Do you have any advice for other entrepreneurs on starting out and managing a business?
I would say reach out to a lot of the terrific startup networks that are out there at the moment. I wish I had that back then.
There's a lot more of them around now, isn't there?
There's so many terrific groups out there, and I've tapped into them over the last few years. Apart from hooking yourself with other entrepreneur networks, I think that's very important. Make sure you understand your finances. Really research how much this thing is going to cost you, whatever it's going to be. Give yourself a 3-year plan, write it down and make sure, you know, you can achieve all these little things that you're setting out yourself to do, because it's very tough. So you need to have a good level of resilience. I felt like I've learned everything the hard way, but maybe that's what's made me more resilient as well. So, you know, tap into your networks, get some good advisors on board. So when you're feeling down or you're not sure if it's the right path, tap into your advisors, talk to them. You know, give yourself a check-in every now and then, and stick with it. If you really believe in it, absolutely stick with it.
Helen, thanks so much for coming in and sharing the story of Bookmark with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Cara. It's been terrific.
For Bookmark founder Helen Awali, the right technology has been a key to the success of her business. Business apps such as Office 365 Business and G Suite, included in Vodafone's Business Ready Apps Marketplace, can help you and your team work better together. And when you become a Vodafone customer, you get a personal account manager when you have just 10 or more connections. To find out more on how Vodafone can help your business, go to vodafone.com.au/business.
ABN required, $300 limit per month, billed monthly by Vodafone, T's and C's apply.
We've just heard from Helen Awali, the owner of Bookmark. And joining me in the studio now is entrepreneur and Wade Institute mentor, Jody Imam. Jody, Helen has always run Bookmark with a subscription-based model, along with advertising on site, which is actually a great thing to do in terms of cash flow. What are your thoughts on how Helen has managed Bookmark's revenue streams?
I think it's great. I totally agree with subscription, and wherever you can run a subscription business, it's far better than a pay-per-use. Because of that, you do get that confidence in future cash flows. Once you've got somebody subscribing, you know you've got some certainty, whereas pay-per-use, it's just completely uncertain, and you have to spend a lot of marketing effort getting that pay-per-use person back each time, whereas if you've got them on a subscription, you've sold them once and you keep them for a period of time. And of course, you want to keep them happy, but you're not having to spend that customer acquisition money again each time that they use. So subscription models are fantastic like that.
So in your mind, what are the things that small business owners and entrepreneurs neglect or place low on their priority list that should be considered early on when they're starting a business?
Critical things at the start are customer validation. So even before you go and build some tech or start investing in product manufacturing, it's critical to go out there and talk to as many potential customers as possible, you know, at least 100 before you even start spending any money on anything. And then the numbers, like really having a lot of people just have, oh, I've got this great idea, I'm going to start, and they start spending and start sort of talking about it and posting on Instagram, and they haven't actually put some numbers into a spreadsheet to see what that business might even look like. Like, is it even worth you spending your time on it? Can it even potentially make money or not? Because maybe you can sell so many widgets, but then if it costs you so much, you're not actually making money at the end of the day. So those two things are super critical.
interesting you talk about, you know, getting feedback from customers. A lot of people when they're starting a business are quite hesitant about sharing what they're doing.
Yes.
What's your advice on that, and how do people overcome that sort of fear of putting out there what they're doing?
Yeah, I think you absolutely have to put it out there. There's no way it'll get off the ground if you don't put it out there. You have to get as many stakeholders as possible, and most likely no one's going to copy your idea. No one's going to want to do it as much as you, that they're going to spend their money, quit their job, whatever it takes to put the energy into that. It's very unlikely. And if you do keep it to yourself, then there's very little chance you'll get it off the ground.
Helen touched on managing her anxiety while starting and growing her own business. Is this a common story with entrepreneurs in your experience?
Absolutely. And I think people start out on their journey and they see all the success stories and, you know, from people going from zero to a million in overnight, and they think, oh, that could be me, and I'll escape my boss and I'll start my life and it'll be great. And then it's hard. It's really hard. And I think for most people that I've worked with, and for myself as well, the first year you sort of have got that bit of runway and you're working on it, it's all exciting, and you know you're not going to necessarily be making so much money. But come year two, and there's a term for it, Death Valley, which
sounds bad.
It's quite a harsh term, but it's true. Like and it happened to me by second year, you're out there, you're getting a couple of customers, but nowhere near what you expected, and it's really hard. That initial energy and excitement wears off, and it's just the trudge of getting customers and trying to make enough money to pay for the costs that are inherent in that business. And it is a common thing that I think it's great that Helen brought that up, because people don't talk about it enough.
Because it can be a lonely journey. I mean, we hear a lot about mental health in the workplace, but if you're running a startup or a small business, you know, you can be looking after employees, but who's looking after you?
Yeah,
really?
Absolutely. Especially, I think startups, people don't understand it as it is. A lot of people don't understand necessarily even what you're doing, let alone then the mental health problems that can come with it. It's critical to surround yourself with other people going through the same journey.
A big thank you to Jodie Imam for her advice on avoiding Death Valley, and to Helen Awali from Bookmark for sharing her story. On our next episode, we're speaking to a professional toy collector turned gift retailer about the pros and cons of online stores versus bricks and mortar. I'm Cara Waters, and this has been the Bold Businesses Podcast, powered by Vodafone.